The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the latest episode of The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expansive real estate sector. Spearit may be a relatively small fund listed on the JSE, but has been one of the most active in recent years. The Counter is also the only fund currently purely focused on the Republic of the Cape. Forgive me there, I meant Cape Town and the Western Cape. It is, after all, still part of South Africa. But jokes aside, Spear, like its home province, has been on a big growth spurt, particularly over the last few years. It seems with quite a few capital raises and deals over the last while. On this episode of the pod, we have Spear Group CEO Quinton Rossi, who joins us to share the latest insights on the Real Estate Investment Trust and all its dealings currently underway in the Western Cape. It seems to be punching up above its weight, some analysts tell me, so it is getting a lot of attention. Quinton, welcome to the Property Pod.
Suren, thank you so much for having me and for the brilliant intro.
Talking about weightings, I was chatting to an analyst earlier, and I mentioned that I'm chatting to you, and he said, you must ask them about this question. So I'm going to ask their suggested question to kick off. When or if Spear is expecting to be included in the LP anytime soon, is this important for the group, you know, just to up liquidity and that sort of thing?
Suren, it is. And, you know, one of the ethoses of our business is that we are active managers of our assets, but also active managers of the corporate business. And we have been actively engaging with the JSE for quite some time with the unwavering support of our institutional shareholders to participate in what the JSE's called the market simplification process. All things being equal, we do believe, and this is obviously our opinion, that everything is pointing in the direction of a potential ORP inclusion, hopefully this year still. And I think it's very proactive by the JSE to look to remove market capitalization as a hurdle for all share potentially and ORP inclusion, because Spear qualifies on all the other criteria. We have the free float qualification. We are a ZA002 stock, which means that our liquidity is sufficient to qualify for inclusion. It's just that our market cap isn't yet at that 7.5 billion level that would justify inclusion into the all share. Mm. And as a matter of fact, you can't unfortunately be in the all P if you're not in the all share, which the JSE has obviously realized now that there are specialist property investors that want access to the investment opportunity that Spear has to offer and is limited in terms of their participation because of certain mandate restrictions that are placed upon them from the people that provide them the capital to manage. So we do think it's an important inclusion for the business. Naturally, you know, liquidity begets liquidity. And as our liquidity improves, the prospect of lowering our cost of capital becomes more and more relevant, which is important. We want to be able to have the lowest cost of capital to do the most accretive possible deals we can. Mm. So it is important for us. We just kind of currently are following the process and doing what we can to reflect a business that's well managed to our shareholders. And then I must just commend the JSE. They've been extremely engaging and very cooperative. The indices team within the JSE is doing a lot of, call it trailblazing work, to try and, you know, kind of please both sides of the investment spectrum, both the clients and the participants in the market. Yeah, it's something that we do take seriously, and we've been putting in a lot of work on it with the JSE, which we are very grateful for their cooperation to date.
Well, it's good to hear, you know, the JSE hit 100,000 points. It's good to hear that there are other initiatives happening, because you have that success, but you also have a case of quite a few delistings. So it's good to hear that, you know, the South Africa's biggest boss is taking this initiative to support companies that are already listed to get more profile as well. As mentioned earlier in my intro, SPEAR has been busy over the last couple of years. It may well have been longer, but one of the big deals last year or the year before was that big acquisition from Emira of quite a big portfolio in the Western Cape. But you've also had, as a group, quite a few capital raises, both in 2024 and 2025. Can you give us some insights on the main movers behind this before we go into deals coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've always operated with the ethos that we raise equity when we need it in terms of what we want to deploy. We never want to sit with too much drag on the income statement as a result of sitting with too much cash. Mm. And the equity we raised in 2024 was close to about 860 million, roughly, give or take a few. And that was primarily to fund the acquisition of the Emira portfolio, in addition to the settlement of debt facilities and rolling out some of our solar infrastructure, which has paid off, in my view, for the company. The opportunity to do the to acquire the Emira portfolio, it's a 1.15 billion rand portfolio of 100% Western Cape assets, just under 94,000 square meters of GLA. And the portfolio presented a very good opportunity for us to scale the business across a diversified portfolio, given the fact that we get our specialization through investing into one region, but our diversification through investing into industrial, commercial, and retail assets. And also, given the fact that the office market staged such a significant recovery within the Cape sector, that it didn't worry us to take on additional office assets, because these assets were all in well-located nodes and also in nodes where we already owned assets and had management involvement. So that was 2024. We took transfer of that portfolio in October last year. It has definitely measured up to our expectations. In certain respects, we're now in the process of unlocking about a 1.5 megawatt solar program across those 13 assets, which will generate additional inflows for the business. But also, we've started to renew leases at higher escalations, and vacancies have started to move in the right direction in terms of that portfolio. So that capital was predominantly raised for the Emira transaction. Mm. And to also follow the same principle, in 2025, in the May results presentation for FY25, we spoke to the market and said we had a growth pipeline of about 1 billion rand worth of opportunities for FY26, over and above the 182 million rand industrial park we acquired in Paarl. We issued a cautionary earlier this week and made a market announcement. We're now starting to get to the implementation phase of what that capital was partially raised for.
Mm.
So again, you know, we're raising capital at this last raise was at around a 9% forward yield. We're acquiring assets at between 9.2 and 9.7%. So there's an accretion from day one. It's in line with our strategy. And again, we are now at a position where the balance sheet is extremely strong. Prior to the implementation of this latest announcement, our LTV is around 15%, which is probably the lowest LTV in the entire sector.
Wow.
But it's not going to stay there. It's not going to stay there because it's now primed for the next growth phase of the business. So in a nutshell, you know, we've got a 90 to 100,000 square meter development pipeline over the next 2 years, which will require capital, which is the development we're doing in George. We've got a development planning in Pardon Island, in Blackheath, and at Sable Square. And obviously, then we've got these acquisitions that are coming through, which will accumulate probably in a year of about an further 1 billion rand worth of growth, as we projected to the market or forecasted to the market in our results presentation. And that pretty much accounts for the bulk of the capital that we've raised in the market.
Okay. So there is a lot going on, but I'm particularly interested about the George Airport. What is that industrial? Can you share more insights? Because, you know, there's a lot in Cape Town, but you're not just a Cape Town-focused fund. You're looking at other areas of the Western Cape broadly. And the reason I ask about George is you will be well aware that AXA has been under pressure because it's burgeoning at the seams, that airport, and AXA is expected to invest, I believe, at least 1 billion rand to expand that airport over the next few years.
Yes, that's quite right. So our development in George is a very exciting development. It's an industrial park situated right next to the airport. So when I go and do a site visit, I literally land in George and I walk across the street from the airport and I'm on site on our development. It's a 7.7 hectare site with eight land parcels within the 7.7 hectares. That'll top structure will be approximately 30,000 square meters of multi-let industrial, servicing the market from a 400 square meter user to a 10,000 square meter user in different industrial opportunities that we're developing. We've just received our STP approval for our perimeter fencing and perimeter walls, as well as our signage and entry pylons. And we are working very closely with the George Municipality to approve our first top structure STP for us to be in the ground before the end of this year for the first 4,500 square meter building. So we think it's an exciting part of the Western Cape. Lots of growth in the George, Mossel Bay, Knysna area, which will necessitate industrial opportunities. And we can see the growth of online, we can see the growth of last mile, we can see the growth required in cold storage. And you talk about the upgrade of the George Airport. We are looking forward to cargo terminals. We're looking forward to bulk transportation terminals being built by AXA in the foreseeable future. And then our site will effectively be some sort of a support service to those types of operators. So we are very, very excited about that development.
Thanks for that insight. The reason I ask is like a lot of attention goes on to Cape Town for obvious reasons, but there is a lot happening in George and other parts of the Western Cape. Now, I know you mentioned it a little bit, but you had a cautionary announcement and then on Friday you revealed one of those assets. Was the cautionary purely that or you have some other acquisitions up your sleeve?
No, so we're still trading under cautionary, and that is one of the, call it, billion rand growth potential that we alluded to in our results presentation in May of this year. And there's still some runway left, and we'll certainly communicate that through the proper channels to the market. But we're extremely gratified by the investment opportunities that we're currently working on. Some of them may come off, some of them may not come off, but we believe that our strategy is very sound. We've got a very clear investment strategy and every acquisition has to meet that specific criteria. Mm-hmm.
Just on those core sectors, are you going to continue to focus on that core sectors in the market or are you potentially looking at other sectors, potentially resi or student accommodation? Because a lot those also are kind of booming sectors in the Western Cape.
So our primary focus is industrial, retail, convenience retail, and commercial. We've seen that, you know, it's kind of sticking to our knitting has boded very well for us, both from a regional perspective and a narrowing of asset type focus. Residential development from a development to hold and rent does have its own challenges, given that one can't claim the VAT on your development cost if you develop to hold as residential rental stock. So that does diminish your return. And we are very sacred about our returns because we want to be able to get the most out of our capital that we deploy. And student accommodation is not typically an asset type, even though I think it's a very exciting and a very much needed asset type in the sector. I do not see us necessarily entering that space. Historically, we have been pre-listing, and during some part of our listing journey, we did own two hotels in Cape Town, and we traded out of that just given the fact that, you know, the income is very much reliant on a whole host of factors, not just the real estate. The real estate is only a factor, maybe a third of the recipe of success. Mm. Then it's the management, and then it's the occupancy, and then it's the FF&E requirements. So for us, you know, the strategy is to own the real estate and then to have strategic, strong relationships with our tenants and then to let the tenants take care of the internal aspects of the real estate.
Okay. Thanks for that, Quinton. Just Spear is a proudly Cape Town-based firm. I see your ex-posts, formerly tweets, and quite passionate. Most Cape Townians are ambassadors for their city because it's a working city and it's the best run city in South Africa. But how much of the firm's success would you attribute to the fact that its strategy to focus purely on Cape Town and the Western Cape? And is that strategy going to remain?
Yeah, so first and foremost, our strategy is embedded into the founding principles of our business. For us, we want to be within 1 hour of every one of our assets. Yes, George is a half an hour flight, but the qualification still applies. And I think what's important to recognize and appreciate is that both the city of Cape Town as a metro and the province as the Western Cape have created such a strong enabling environment for businesses to not just succeed, but to thrive. We look at everything in building blocks. The enabling environment is a key building block for us to be able to expand our portfolio. The better the cities run, the better the provinces run, the more opportunity there is for us to grow the real estate portfolio, because you are attracting more people to the province and to the city, you're attracting more business, and you're attracting more capital. And, you know, capital has no citizenship. So capital goes where there's good governance and policy certainty. And the same thing applies to real estate. You know, businesses go where they are welcome and where there's a conducive environment. And I think the Cape Town, the city, the province have created that conducive environment for Spear to be successful, which is a part of the success recipe. But together with a very hands-on and active asset management team that are close to our assets and also that have acute understanding of the regional dynamics, have also been a key part of the success. Because I tell you, yes, we rely on a great city of Cape Town, but we also rely on a great Spear property management team, a great Spear asset management team, a great Spear finance team, and a great Spear development management team to execute on the strategy every day, no matter where we are. But Cape Town certainly has given us the best platform to succeed.
Okay. So in any city in the world, you will have, even in successful cities, there will be challenges. And obviously, there's an influx of people into Cape Town. And we heard the mayor say that they need to roll out the infrastructure that's needed because, you know, of the number of people, whether it's immigration or businesses. Now, I have to ask you this question because it's a sore topic in the commercial property sector, believe it or not. So the Cape Town is having a little bit of their own, similar to Godangwana in the national budget. They are having a little bit of pushback from both ordinary citizens, but now the likes of SOPOA. My question was going to be, do you have any concerns about, you know, issues in the Western Cape, maybe things that keep you up at night? Because things are not always rosy. How are you dealing with this situation? I'm kind of putting words in your mouth there, but or not words in your mouth, I'm putting the context. But how significant is this whole rates hike situation where SOPOA is taking the city of Cape Town to court? Spear is a major player in Cape Town.
Yeah, I think you're quite right. There's no bed of roses anywhere in the world, no matter where you go. I think that when you look around the city of Cape Town and you look around the metro, which is 2,500 square kilometers of space, you certainly do see a city that is exceptionally well run. You see a city that has where the municipality has acute understanding of what needs to be done from an infrastructure perspective. But there is a balance. There has to be a balance between what people can afford in terms of the rate base and what the city's ambitions are. And we've got no doubt that the city has a strategy to build the city of hope, to build a city that sets itself apart from the decay that we're seeing in other municipalities across the country. But that also needs to happen in a measured way, in a way where there's been due process from a public participation and consultation perspective and proper engagement. My ultimate hope and my ultimate kind of energy that I want to put into the call it dislocation between where the city is and what SOPOA is advocating for their members is that we need to also realize that we are all working towards the same goal, and that's to create a highly successful business environment, a highly successful real estate sector within South Africa. And I don't believe for 1 minute the city of Cape Town's officials want to work against SOPOA, and I don't believe SOPOA wants to work against the city of Cape Town. I think there's processes that need to be followed, and we do agree we want to make sure that the rising trend of operating costs, the rising trend of municipal charges, it needs to be done in a measured way to ensure the city can meet its obligations in terms of its budget, and also us as property owners are able to meet our obligations to our tenants, and our tenants are able to absorb the rising cost of occupancy. So I think there's a lot in that response, but I think that's pretty much, you know, my perspective as we stand at the moment.
So you're hopeful that some sort of middle ground will be achieved between the two?
Yes, I believe that that should be the ultimate North Star from our perspective, and we'll see how this kind of manifests itself over the next while.
I didn't have this question on my list, but I just thought of it because the Cape Town Deputy Mayor spoke at the SAPOA conference last year talking about the success of Cape Town. And he was quite, you know, this was before the whole budget process. And they were talking about city improvement districts. Now, Cape Town is a forerunner in that. And I'm just, it just came as a flash bulb moment. The property sector is also contributing quite significantly to a number of CIDs in Cape Town, and that's also contributing a lot to the success, not of only the central city, but I believe Cape Town has the most central improvement districts in South Africa because it has the right legislation in place.
Yes. I mean, Cape Town currently has about 52 CIDs, probably contributing from a budget, from a CID levy recovery perspective, probably close to 400 million a year, which is effectively a top-up service, if we can call it that. Hmm. I think it's very important to differentiate between the two. I think, you know, what the city, the CIDs do are effectively, you know, kind of focused on both socioeconomic safety and security, public cleaning, et cetera, which is effectively in complement to what the city of Cape Town does. Hmm. And we've seen this model has been exceptionally successful because it's a formal partnership that creates a cohesive and clear relationship between private property owners and the municipality. And that creates another layer of confidence where you as a property owner or you as a tenant know that the location that you operate in, things for argument's sake, pothole repairs, street lights, graffiti, repairs, removal, sewage spills, that's all kind of taken care of by the CIDs. And also the budgets are guaranteed by the city on an annualized basis. So I think there's a massive learning that other municipalities should take. You know, the Sandton CID is an informal, unlegislated CID, which kind of people can opt in and opt out of, where if you're in a location that has an approved CID in Cape Town, you automatically become, you know, part of it. And I think that's only limited to, call it, 52 areas. But there are many areas outside of those CIDs that do require enhanced services. You know, you take a suburb like Delft. A suburb like Delft was never designed to house 400,000 people. So naturally, there's more pressure on sewage systems. There's more pressure on infrastructure there because it's completely over-densified. So the city does have to throw resources at that in order to ensure that service delivery does reach also areas where planning was really poor and planning was as a result of racial laws as opposed to methodical kind of town planning development principles.
Thanks for that. Sorry, I went on a tangent a little bit, but it's valuable insight that you mentioned there. Quinton, before you go, a little bit about yourself. I'm sure you're quite famous. People know you in Cape Town, but this is a national show, and dare I say, we have international listeners as well. A little bit of about yourself. How long have you been CEO at Spearit? And, you know, what's your grand vision? You talked about LP, which we kicked off with, but you know, do you have a target of that going beyond that 7 billion rand mark and potentially higher? What's the big goal?
Yeah, so thanks, Irene. I mean, I'm very, very fortunate that in 2011, I was myself and Mike Flax, who's an industry veteran, and Abu Varaccio, who's also an industry veteran, we had the opportunity to start a business called Spear Properties, which was a private business. We did a small portfolio acquisition from Redefining Property Fund via Mark Wehner. And that was the inception of Spear. And I was actually, it was quite, it actually dawned on me today that our first portfolio, which was 12 properties, a step-down facility, a hotel in a farm out in Somerset West, was around 354,300,000 odd rand, which was the genesis of Spear, what Spear is today. And the most recent acquisition we just announced actually is a singular property valued at 437 million. And it just to show the kind of where we've come from in terms of our first acquisition of 12 properties was less than a single acquisition we're making these days. But I started out life as the managing director of Spear Properties, and myself, Mike and Abu worked very closely together growing the business as a Western Cape only business. So it's by design and by choice that we opted from 2011 to focus only on the Western Cape and Cape Town in particular, because even then we could see the property fundamentals were remaining exceptionally strong. The tourism market was growing. We had Helen Ziller as the mayor or premier, I can't recall. But overall, the kind of Western Cape was already starting to decouple itself from the rest of South Africa, from a governance perspective, from a real estate perspective and tourism perspective. And we grew this business, bolting on assets, selling some assets and redeploying capital. And in May 2018, I took over as Group CEO from Mike. Mike then moved into a Deputy Chairman role and has been an exceptional mentor to me to this day. Both Mike and Abu are on our board. Abu Varaccio is our chairman and Mike Flax is our Deputy Chairman, and they remain acutely involved in the kind of board agenda, but also are significant shareholders. As quite interesting enough, we never had a ManCo. We actually owned all of the assets ourselves before we listed. So we rolled our full equity of the listing into Spear REIT, and were and still are significant shareholders in our individual capacity in the business. But it really isn't about me and my role as CEO. It's really about the incredible team that we have that support me and allow me to kind of, you know, look at things from a holistic perspective and to be able to network and source deals and make strategic decisions within the business. So I really am supported by an incredible team. My chief financial officer, Christian Barnard, is young, energetic, and also has a love for property. I've got an exceptional chief operations officer, Cliff Tureen, who is a seasoned veteran in the property industry. And then, as you know, also a very dynamic chief investment officer, Kim Pfaff-Cogg. And together we make up the executive team of Spear. And that our team is supported by a phenomenal team in the head office at 2 Long Street. But I think what we wanted to build, and people sometimes chuckle at me, I say, we want to build a 100-year-old business. And every investment decision we make, we actually make it not thinking that we're going to be around forever, but making it to make sure that the capital that we steward and the capital that we deploy presents long-term value. If we get to a stage of, and I mean, I've always said, like, we want to be a meaningful mid-cap REIT. And what does that mean? A mid-cap REIT, probably about 12 to 15 billion rands worth of assets, 9 billion market cap. That size still allows us to be nimble and dynamic and entrepreneurial. We can still move the needle. We're not bogged down by massive multi-jurisdictional challenges or large kind of sluggish growth regions. We have one region to focus on. And we think there's more than enough real estate in our kind of ecosystem to grow the portfolio to the size that we think. But also, it's not just about the growth. We want to make sure that we can grow our earnings first as a primary objective. Secondly, grow a high-quality portfolio that will generate sustainable cash flows with good lease covenants and great locations. And you know what? At the end of the day, if we grow to 10 billion or 11 billion, but we've maintained the essence of what I've just said, that for me is the ultimate grand vision of our business. And that's yeah, that's really the focus. Our focus is to be hands-on asset managers, to be good stewards of our ownership in the business, but also to steward well the interests of our shareholders.
Thanks for that, Quinton. You can hear the passion. It's almost like a family business. Quinton, thanks again so much for your time on the podcast. We probably can chat for a lot longer, but that was Quinton Rossi, the CEO of Spearit, the Cape Town-based listed property fund.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.